Soy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is wonderful to have your company today for episode 358. This week on the show, we're going to do a rundown of all the latest news, including a segment on the San Diego Comic-Con 2024 exclusives. And then we've got a bit of a Lego completionist story, Frank. I think there's been something on your table out there that's slowly coming together, and I think now it's done.
It is now complete. And you know how, like, when you know, obviously, with Lego, what you're going to get, right? And you build it and you go, okay. And then there's always a part where you go, this makes no sense. Why am I doing it this way? And Ali and I have developed this phrase. You go, do you know what? In Lego, we trust.
Yes, of course.
Right? And so there's a bit more to that story, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. And Ben is also here.
G'day, welcome, g'day. Ben. Yep.
And we must wish Master Frank a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey,
happy
birthday. Woo. Thank you. Yes, today is the day. I'm 43.
Congratulations.
You know, not quite as old as the hoop and stick of Scotty, but, you know, he's not here to defend himself.
He's not. Scotty is not here. He's making space in his bags. He's putting in extra pockets for all the stuff we're going to need him to bring us back.
He's just got one of those big puffy jackets.
Hey, kids, you want to buy a toy?
That's it. The Marge Simpson filling it up with toys. So, before we get into the news, I'm just looking down here. You've got your attorney set up to my right. Normally, this is Scotty's position.
Yes.
I'm sort of sitting there
where
next to Ben.
But
I'm here next to Eternia, and I'm looking at Central Tower. Who would you think would be defending Central Tower in prime position there? Any guesses?
I haven't seen it, to be honest. Right. This is a pure guess. It should be He-Man, shouldn't it?
He-Man, yep.
Yeah. Or King Grayskull.
Something like that, yeah.
Logical choices.
Like you could even maybe do a hero.
Yes, that's a great call. Hero. Yes.
But we have there, defending Central Tower, none other than Moti.
Oh, nice.
Monster is there.
I'll take him home and make sure that, you know, the castle is free of protection.
To me, that's the natural place for him. And you probably noticed the weapons there that I haven't got around to putting in the weapons rack, because it's sort of at the weapons are sort of contained in the moat at the moment, because I've got to sort of reach around the back to put them in. But no, I was just like, well, you know, all this talk and hype about Moti, my King Grayskull is still in the box, to be fair. I just, that's where he goes.
You filled up the moat with weapens, so Modi's got nowhere to,
that's right.
You know,
he's
to
been
moat.
Evicted.
He needs to sit on top of the bridge now.
Wonderful. All right, let's get into a bit of this.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
But she's got a new hat.
The cantina. We're going to click onto the cantina, and we're going to see where the HasLab is currently at. Ooh, well, this could be nice and tight towards the finish line.
I mean, normally these things, if they're going to go gangbusters, they'll reach their goal in the, you know, opening sort of 10 days. What do they go? These usually go for like 30 or 40 days?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so as of this recording, we've got nine and a bit days remaining. Looking for 8,000 backers, currently sitting at 6.2.
6.2, yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like it'd be one of these things, once it cracks 8,000, everyone's going to jump on to smash those tiers. But kind of leaving it a little bit late. It'd be interesting to see in the next week how close we get to the 8,000 and at what point.
Yeah.
I think if you get there with, let's say, 5 days remaining, so if in the next 4 days they sort of smash it out, I think then you'll get tier one and tier two almost overnight, because people want those figures.
They do, and they'll move very quickly, but it is this game, isn't it, of, you know, when will it hit that target, and then how much will it increase from there? Look, I think this is going to fund... I think we're going to struggle to get towards the higher tiers.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, tier one and tier two are probably within reach. But it'll be very interesting to see where this one goes.
I mean, looking at these pictures again, and we spoke about it at length on a couple of episodes ago, I really love Scotty's idea of those the booths the having translucent plastic on the top, or even like a flip top so you can actually sort of look and see what's in there. Those are the biggest sort of... They're the customs I could see people, you know, assuming this gets funded and people get in their hands, people will start modding it.
I think so.
And do that sort of thing.
I chucked up the Lego one. If we go back to the original picture, just to have a look at comparison of another, be honest, that's probably the only other cantina to this magnitude that's been released. And we've got all four sides here. We've got a Jew back out the front. We've got the band. The band has not been forgotten this round. We've got an extra seat. We've got an extra streetscape as well in the background there. There's a vehicle of some degree. There's some, I don't know, mobile phone towers or something on the sides. Quite a few characters. I reckon at least 15 or 20.
I didn't even know this one existed, I'll be fair.
It came out a couple of years back. Yeah. It's one of those, I think it's about a $700, $800 set. So it's not cheap. And I've only ever seen it at the Lego certified store here in Adelaide.
Sure.
But it is impressive. It's got also that big droid thing, that big kind of like UFO.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's got, I mean, it's Lego. It's obviously a much smaller scale, but this is a complete play set in the sense it's both internal and external.
And it's clever that they've been able to have the middle of it open, so you can obviously, no doubt, the bar and all the detail inside there, but still have the closed off areas. Lego has the advantage of being able to do that thing where you have like minimal studs, so you could just pick the roof off in one piece type thing.
And I think this is hinged to open up.
Right.
And so it is a different medium, but it's an interesting comparison.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
Hasbro clearly were cost constrained in this, and they're like, well, you know, what's the best way we can offer this? And they have been doing a few of these more diorama sort of sets, you know, the opening of A New Hope and the Tantive sort of corridors and those sort of things. Mm. They've been doing a bit more of that. I remember they even did the Cloud City carbon freezing chamber that was, sparse looking type of diorama / playset. So, look, I think this is going to fund. Let's hope there are as many stretch goals that can be met as possible so everyone gets their figures.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on to some reveals now. And this was just a little bit of news out of the Star Wars Black Series from Hasbro. Nothing terribly exciting. It's essentially a two-pack of figures we've had before. One of them is the Rebel Guard from Episode 4 from the opening sequence. And then we've got a Stormtrooper he's paired with as well. Really, the only difference that I see with this set is you're paying $45 USD to get these two figures. Mm. If you were to buy them individually, maybe you'd pay $50, something like that.
Right.
They're selling this as a bit of a troop builder. So, you know, get what you want without too many variants or other things to go along with it.
So no differences in the figures, like different paints or anything?
I can't tell. It even looks like the face sculpt is the same on the Rebel.
Yep.
What is he called? A Rebel Trooper. Yeah, the Rebel Trooper. He looks exactly the same as the one I've got. Maybe the blue is slightly different. I don't know if it's more vibrant or whatever. Removable helmet, holstered gun. He's a really cool figure, I must say. And look, this is probably the, I don't know, 15th, 20th time we've got a Stormtrooper release. So most people have him. I know they were a bit critical of his joints. I'm just looking at the shoulders on this one. Those shoulders look like an improvement over the first release.
Mm-hmm.
But someone, maybe Nick Greenslade, could tell me all about the ins and outs of the Stormtrooper buck and how it's evolved over time. But he looks pretty cool. It's a nice set. And I guess if you want to army build it, you're saving sort of 10% really. I mean, it's not a huge win.
Yeah.
But it's something.
Oh, it could be that thing. If you're only into it for the Stormtroopers, you could, you know, you sell the other figure and make your money back that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only gripe is they should have a different head sculpt or coloured skin hands for the Rebel Trooper to change them out. So if you buy multiple packs, they don't all look like identical clones. Yeah.
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 The Stormtrooper you can get away with, but I think for the Rebel Trooper, they should have a few different skin tones. Facial expressions, maybe even throw a girl in there or something. I don't know how that'd translate into the body physique, but there's options.
No, definitely. They did it with the Endor guard.
Mm.
When you buy him, you get a couple of different face plates and a couple of different, you get the bearded one, the clean shave and that sort of thing. But that, I reckon here in Australia, that was a $60/$65 fee. So it was in the deluxe.
Yeah, the minute you start putting in alternate heads and stuff, you're headed towards that higher price bracket, really. All right, moving on to NECA. This is black and white versions of the Universal Monster Turtles. So NECA did this wonderful mashup of Universal Monsters with Ninja Turtles. We got all four brothers. We got Casey Jones. We got April. Do we get a Shredder?
Still no Shredder. They teased him, I think, or mentioned him on the packet or something like that in a podcast or in an interview or some sort. But there's been no release to date, and I'm chomping at the bit to see what they do.
Yes.
He'll be cool.
So this is a re-release of a sort where we're getting Leonardo as the Hunchback and Raphael Wolfman a second time, but these are done in a black and white deco. So basically not black and white like you might imagine some of the earlier comic inspired things that NECA did, but these grayscale is probably the right terminology.
Like they part of a black and white movie. It's that sort
of look. So things that are white are now sort of off white, and things that were colored are sort of a darker gray type thing. So,
actually, the look is really good. Like it really does. I'm looking at this, and they've done some amazing poster art here.
Yeah,
it really looks like sort of one of those 40s serials. Very cleverly done. Yeah,
I saw some of the initial shots, and they were all done really well, like high quality photography and stuff. But the background or whatever dio they were up against was also black and white. And I'm like, not that they would do this, but it felt like too much of a Photoshop camera trick. Until I saw this shot where it's just a plain white background, and you go, this is the figure I'm actually getting.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like,
it's not just a trick photography thing. They've made these guys look really good.
It does look like a filter.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't quite look like that's a photograph of the figures. That's how cool it looks.
Mm.
And I loved it. That alternate head with the Raph.
That was available.
That's a really nice head. Yeah. I'm loving that head.
Yeah.
Just to emphasize, this comes in a two-pack. So you buy Leo and Raphael as a set of two. And I dare say that down the track, you'll get Donnie and Mikey in a similar two-pack.
Walmart exclusive by the looks of it, and no word yet on pre-order dates. But very cool idea. Mm. Good on your NECA for doing something different.
Mm.
Oh, the big one.
All right. We talked about this and thought we potentially had an image a couple of weeks ago. Now it has finally been revealed, the 2003 Super 7 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ultimates figures. This is, look, in a nutshell, this is everything I was hoping it was going to be. They look straight off the cartoon. I was about to say the page, but not.
In the Toy Anxiety, they were saying Kyle was on there for
Kyle an interview.
From Super 7. Yeah, and he said they're based heavily on the intro, on the look of the intro is where he got all his inspiration, and then the secondary heads are a bit, you know, of a extra look.
So look, they're very, some people have said they're a bit smooth compared to the sort of the Playmates figures, but if you compare those Playmates figures to the 2003 counterparts, that's the style. That's the style they went for. It's the style of the animation. It matches really well. They've got the, you know, I'd probably say three different shades of green. Raph and Mikey are pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, the weapons all have like the colored handles to match, you know, blue, purple, red, orange. I love these. And probably the big thing that does it for me is finally in an Ultimates figure, and I think this is a first for Ultimates, unless I'm mistaken, double jointed knees and elbows. Which, you know, and they've got, you know, Leo down on one knee sort of holding his sword, Mikey hunched all the way over. Like, the fact that you can get these, and these are big sort of, you know, 8-inch sized figures, the fact that you can get them in those sort of poses is amazing.
But that's not all. The neck pegs as well are articulated, so you can really get
Got like a ball joint, but then a neck joint as closer to the... Yeah,
I know. Look, Brian has always been aesthetics over articulation, and he's made that quite clear. But the good thing about the turtles, at their knees and their elbows, they've got pads essentially on. So you can hide that. And look, I must admit, those poses are incredible. Even the one of Donnie kind of like with the bow behind his back.
Yep.
that really adds something to these figures. And I don't think we've really lost anything in terms of the aesthetic of the sculpt. I think the smoothness really works. Like, I think that to me is what these should look like.
Yep.
They're based on the animation. I'm fine with that. And the very cool thing, normally I wouldn't order direct from Super 7.
Mm.
I've noticed their shipping to Australia has come down a bit, so it is a bit more appealing. I think it's pretty much comparable now to what you might get elsewhere.
Yeah.
But that heads pack that you get if you order all four from Super 7 is phenomenal.
Yep.
You really want that in the collection. I think, look, that Leo head is just that's focus
the
look.
The iconic Leo look.
Like, they're amazing.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, I jumped on as soon as I saw this and they're available. I've ordered from Super 7 before, and my mantra has been, I'm happy to pay the extra, let's say, $50 all up so that I don't have to wait the 3 months extra to get them from Pop Culture. And I was like, this is $20 shipping.
Mm.
No, I've done something wrong. I've set my location incorrectly or something. No, $20 US, mind you, but $20 US shipping for four Ultimates to go halfway around the world. It's a no-brainer.
I mean, if you're paying $90 a figure and you're getting the head pack, that's pretty much as good as you'll get first day release anywhere, right?
Yep.
Like, that's about the best price you'll get. So I think it's well worth, speaking of which, if you do want to order these, you can click a link because we're an affiliate.
Yes, we do. So if you're ordering not just these, but any sort of product from Super 7, we have it's basically super7.com/toypowerpodcast, all one word. And if you order, so you hit that link, it takes you to the website, you do the thing, you buy the toys. And that helps us out as a show. It sort of proves to Super 7 that we exist and that sort of thing. So
getting the word out. But I mean, purely because we love the product and we're all buying it anyway. So these are sensational. And I love the card. I mean, they're still in that same
hexagonal
packaging. Yeah, that sort of window box style with the kind of angled front. But the images is a beautiful picture of the turtle in question and then the graphics essentially from the original toy and the logo. So that's nicely done.
I love Mikey's chucks out there spinning. I think that's a great addition for them. Each of them come with little turtle comms, three sets of hands. Obviously, they're token weapons. And then Donnie's got some goggles that are removable, which are a fun addition.
Yep.
Love it.
Very much already ordered.
All right. Now, moving to something completely different. This is, of course, Ninja Turtles themed as well, but this is the Heat Boys. So we've already seen, I believe, Leonardo and is it
Leo and Mikey are sort of in people's hands.
Yep.
Raph we've seen but I don't think he's out yet.
Okay.
This is sort of...
And then now this is Donatello. So, and the cool thing, he's got that mech warrior look and things. He's got his... goggles and things that looks like a PlayStation controller. He's got a little turtle mech that sits on his shoulder, and that's really cool. Turns into a little turtle robot. Comes with a huge gun and that sort of doubles up as a bow. The bow stuff is separate, actually. He's got a little radar dish that comes off his shell as well. But I love the fact he's got this camouflage, like, you know, borrowing from Megatron sort of garb that hangs off the one side of his shoulder like Boba Fett does and things like that.
Looks like he's going for that army sniper sort of look where he's got the camouflage thing, but then he has this ridiculous sniper rifle that end-to-end stands nearly as tall as he does.
Yeah.
I think I saw a video during the week where basically they said, look, there's a little magazine clip. And look, there's actual shells that sit in the magazine clip. Jeez. And then you slide the lever and it pops out the shells one at a time. It doesn't actually fire a bullet or anything, but it's just the level of detail on these things is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So this will be a welcomed addition. I know Malcolm is in our Discord who gets getting all over these, and this one looks fantastic. So
it's essentially like a robot turtle, isn't it? I mean, almost... Not the color palette of a Gundam, but that sort of Robotech Gundam mech
style. I think they all have little, like you open up the back and there's a little more traditional, maybe 1-2 inches tall.
Like a pilot.
A pilot that sits in it very much Gundam style.
Yep.
He's got a little radar dish.
They are very nicely designed. Mm. Very, very clever. And they look like they're officially licensed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Yep.
Where's Scotty? Oh. We've got all this turtles.
Well, that's why he's not here.
Okay, so this is actually what we're looking at is the Toilet Taxi, which was a vehicle from the vintage line circa 1991, I want to say, off the top of my head.
1990?
My calculations was 1990.
Oh, yep. There you go. Yeah, you're right. And at first glance, if you didn't really pay much attention, you go, oh, cool, they're re-releasing it. Playmates have done a little bit of re-releasing stuff. We've talked about the Technodrome before. There's the, what is it, the Pizza Thrower as well. That's coming out. That looks like a one-to-one redo. This, however, if you know your Turtles, is slightly different. The artwork is similar, but you go, oh, that's Donatello on the artwork as opposed to the original having Leonardo. And it's actually a bigger box because this one comes with a pack-in Donatello figure. Now, for all intents and purposes, it is a vintage Donatello, but it's actually an entirely new variant. I was trying to look at that helmet and even the goggles to see if that was like a reuse from, like the goggles reminded me of the Olympics Michelangelo, who's a skier.
Yep.
Sort of down the back corner here in my collection. It's not. It's a different mold. Right. And that helmet, it almost looks a bit construction workery.
Yep.
I couldn't really pick what, if it's a reuse. Looks like the hands might just be painted differently to make them look like they're gloves.
Yeah.
But essentially, this is, yeah, as the box says, exclusive Donatello included. And you go, is this new? Like people in these, there's some Ninja Turtles groups that are very specifically hardcore vintage only. You know, you start posting about 2003 stuff and they'll block your post type thing.
Right.
This has really got them in a spin because they're like, well, it's, you know, it's been made in 2024, but gee, it's a vintage figure.
It's
right?
a vintage figure. It's a new vintage figure.
It's a new
figure.
Vintage figure. Do you sit, you know, there's this part of me that goes, I kind of need that. I've got the Toilet Taxi. It's all complete. It looks great. It's in wonderful condition. I have really no need for the vehicle, but it's a turtle vintage in air quotes, vintage turtle figure I don't have. Like it's quite an incredible move for Playmates.
It's fresh life, I think, into the reissues. I feel like some of the reissues are very lazy.
Yep.
And we're getting a lot of the same turtles, a lot of the same characters. But in the last 18 months, they've really upped their game on the reissues. And this is another win, in my opinion. I think that's a really neat little addition just to jazz it up. I mean, I don't have a box Turtle Taxi, I don't think. I'd love to get a boxed one.
Mm.
And getting that Donnie almost got the Make My Day Leo kind of aesthetic a little bit. Yep. Obviously, he's not
the goggles
police,
and stuff.
But yeah. That is really, really cool. And they've redone the artwork on the box to put Donnie in there, but really keep it very, very similar
to
the original.
Similar, yeah. Yeah. I'd be interested to see side by side the actual vehicle itself. I suspect it might just be some color differences of, you know, different plastics over, you know, 30 years or whatever it is. That's just the nature of the beast. But from what I can tell, it looks pretty accurate to the original. So
If we just go to the next slide, I think the most enticing thing is the $60 Australian price tag.
Fantastic.
Like $60. And, you know, if you're a Turtles collector, you could afford this and get the exclusive Donnie, because I think $60 is a pretty good deal for a vehicle and a figure, for a Australian. Like, this is probably going to be a $30 US, if even that. So, yep.
Pizza Throw as well, for anyone who doesn't have that. That one's a little hard to find, sort of because it's got the battery component and stuff in it. So often that battery is, you know, all corroded and stuff through the years. But that looks, again, pretty faithful re-release. It's a big chunky vehicle. You can sit a figure on the seat and probably have another two hanging off the sides. And for $70 Australian, if you don't have one, this is way easier than trying to hunt down a vintage one and in good condition.
Yeah.
And look, I think that artwork is the OG artwork.
I would agree with
which means I reckon we're getting a re-release in terms of they might even still have this sculpt and the specifications for it.
Yep.
They haven't had to tweak it on things like the blimp and even, I think, the Technodrome. We get
is
a slightly different,
bit smaller,
slightly different updated art potentially. Certainly on the blimp we did. That's really cool. I like that as well. Another good way to get a very retro boxed item. I mean, where to from here? They're obviously now doing vehicle. It's the 40th year, right?
Yeah.
So we're 2024. That's 40 years since the comic. where to from here in terms of vehicles? What do we think they might be able to do? Iconic vehicles, right? We're talking Foot Cruiser. Mm. We're talking the Mutant Module. Do we think they would tackle something like that?
If they're prepared to go Technodrome, granted, and that the probably the scaling on the Technodrome was just a bit of a cost thing, and you know, shipping how many you can get in a container. I think the Foot Cruiser is a bit of a no-brainer. If they've redone the Turtle Van a couple of times even before this year, Foot Cruiser is kind of the yin to that yang.
Yep.
There's a couple of villain bikes you could do in there.
Yeah, the Turtle motorbike with the sidecar.
That's an easy one to do.
The Cheapskates. I love that because that's always in the cartoons and things.
Yep.
I think some of them, and if you throw in, you know, characters like reduns of Donnie here, they'll sell.
Honestly, you know, they keep better. Doing this and including new figures, new variants in there. I'm in.
Yep.
Even if I have the vehicle already, I'm almost going to get it for that figure. Mm-hmm. They've got me there.
Nice. Good work, Playmates.
Mm.
All right. Who saw this coming? Oh. Joy Toy are doing Turtles. Now, a note, and this is probably not going to stop anyone, but these are being marketed as exclusively for sale in mainland China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Macau. But I'm sure if you want them, you can get these. So Joy Toy traditionally do, and I've collected the Warhammer figures, and I think I've brought one in. They're what you call a 1/18th or a true 1/18th scale, which I think equates to a 4-inch. So it's just that bit bigger than a Star Wars figure. It's just got that. Mm. And they're generally, Warhammer is a hefty aesthetic.
Bulky.
And these are, I think, that similar kind of, they've got that similar bulky heftiness to them. So they're doing the four turtles. They're doing them in a fairly stylized way. So they still look like the turtles. Don't get me wrong, but they've got, you know, additional thigh pads and belt pockets and little different pouches and various things. Like Mikey's got a bracer that essentially goes down from one shoulder to his waist, and on there is like an iPod or something, you know, strapped into there.
But what I love is on his thighs, he's got little spray cans ready to paint the town orange. I think that's fantastic.
Raph's got little like kunai knives sort of across his chest, whereas Leo's got the more practical sort of like leg armor type stuff going on. Honestly, we talked about like articulation being hidden. I saw the first few shots of these. I went, oh, okay, these are stylized turtle statues. And then I saw a different shot and went, oh, my God, they're actually articulated. They look amazing.
And they're really nicely articulated. The Warhammer ones are similar. They've got, I mean, they're a bigger, chunkier figure still.
Mm.
And so even though they've put in the joints, you don't quite get as much articulation. But these are beautiful. I have to say, like, they're really, really nice. They come with a myriad of accessories.
Wow, look at that.
Each one has essentially like a spinning or motion effect with this sort of beautiful blue trail that's coming behind it. They come with pizzas. They've each got a skateboard, two different bases. So like a turtle's base with the traditional like 88 logo. Animation logo on it. And then like a more realistic kind of quarter of a sewer type base
that you can all connect and have it, you know, all together.
Maybe make a full
While the base of the figure is no doubt the same, there's lots of detail. Even there's a shot here we've got of the back of them. You know, Leo's got a thing for his swords. Raph's got what looks like, I don't know, some piece of metal
like that's a cupcake tray or something.
It's been stuck to his back. Mikey's got an old number plate up there. Donatello's got an extra sort of backpack that sits at the back. They've given them personality without it being
without Bay-versing them.
Exactly what I was going to say. Without Michael Baying it, they look like their own individual turtles.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible.
Each of them come with a slice of pizza, and they come with four sets of hands each. It's just phenomenal.
All come with skateboards as well, because we need more of that in our lives. Like, oh, man. Yeah.
Traditionally, I mean, one of these, they're not cheap. Like, I've been using AliExpress to get a lot of these. I think they probably hover at around the $70 Australian sort of mark in general terms. But I've found on Ali you can sometimes get them between sort of 30 and 50 AUD. Right. So I expect these to be kind of more at that 70 price point.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different price points depending on the amount of accessories. And you can get some very, very high-end Joy Toy figures.
Mm.
So, look, I think if these come in at sort of 60, 70 AUD, that is well worth it. And I can highly recommend the quality of a Joy Toy figure.
Beautiful.
All right. This is get a booster to your superpowers collection. McFarlane is up to wave 8 of their superpowers collection. Now, a lot of those waves have included significant repaints in there.
Yep.
But this is a wave of 4. And out of 4, we're getting 3 brand new figures and only one repaint. And the repaint makes a lot of sense. So what we have in front of us, we have 4 figures. We have Booster Gold. Looking very, very cool there in his blue and yellow getup with the sort of orange glasses. We've got a Guy Gardner Green Lantern with the bowl cut. Yeah, he looks fantastic. We've got a Metamorpho there, the Element Man himself, looking very, very cool. And a repaint of Purple Manta. Now we're getting, finally, the Black Manta version. Yep. So we sort of had that 70s color scheme. Mm. And now we have a very nice black Manta with a nice shiny silver head and those big, bright red eyes, which is very cool. This is a super, super strong wave.
This is cool. I've been watching a bit of Young Justice, a lot. And I'm blown away. Second season, spoiler alert. Aqualad becomes Black Manta. Yeah. I was like, wow, you know, how cool is this? And I said, Ree came in and she's watching it with me. And I'm like, God, I just love the look of Black Manta. He's just so cool. He's, look at that helmet, you know, and I'm so, you know, really chalking him up. I'm saying, how cool was he in Aquaman, the live action movie and stuff? I've just got a lot of time for Black Manta. And she's like, yeah, because he looks like a He-Man villain. I'm like, well, you know me.
They got me.
I didn't even recognize my own taste.
Nice. So. Oh. Who put this one on?
Yeah, so this is Working Class Earl Sinclair. So obviously from the Dinosaurs, the Jim Henson famous, you know, not the mama, you know, sitcom. This is Earl Sinclair in his work uniform. So he's got his, you know, checkered shirt on. He's got his work top on. He's got his hard safety hat.
Yeah.
And then he's got a lunchbox with a few frogs or whatever, you know, in them that are still alive, still talking up until the, you know, giving him stick until he, you know, throws them in his mouth or whatever. His hands have got gloves on, and it looks like what appears can only be a six-pack of beer that he takes to work every day. So this is just a fantastic...
Is this in their ultimate sort of like size and scale?
Yeah, this is sort of NECA... what,
six, seven inch sort of thing.
They've released Earl Sinclair, and they've released the baby, and that's about as far as they've got in this lineup so far. But why not? When you've gone to all that work of sculpting these huge-ass dinosaurs... why not, you know, show him in the next best attire that he wears in just about every single episode.
This is almost as iconic as his, you know, at home look. Yeah. You know, him with the hard hat. It's, you're right.
Definitely.
Like every other episode you see it.
So this is just a really cool look. The box is like a crate that he's, you know, pushing over and Development Corporation.
We say so.
Yeah. I think the box is just as cool as the actual figure itself. We're going to talk about the San Diego Comic-Con characters and releases next, but there is a superhero version of Earl Sinclair. I didn't put that on the list. I thought that was a bit niche for us. Earl in this uniform comes with 2 separate heads, one sort of looking off to the side with his mouth open and the other one closed, and he comes with alternate hands. He's it's a cool-looking figure.
I love I mean, this is so accurate to the screen. I remember being a big fan of this show.
Oh, 100%.
I loved it. I think much to my parents' dismay.
Yep.
They're like, why are you watching this thing? Where's the mama? I mean, what's going on? But I really enjoyed it. I've got a soft spot for this. I haven't collected it, but... You know, if they did sort of 4 or 5 figures, I mean, what, there's the daughter, there's the wife.
The son. The son's pretty famous. Yeah.
And then the
You got to get the boss the where boss, his head is, he's behind that desk. There's no way he's getting in and out. And then his mate is he's a T-Rex and stuff. And then the neighbor that all you see is the neck.
She
just pokes her head through the door, through the window all the time. There's a lot of opportunities, but... I think the core family is where it's at, and they're just obviously trying to.
It's the Simpsons in dinosaur,
pretty much. Isn't it? Yeah. And those little frogs, I mean, they've just captured them so beautifully, the character and all that beautiful Jim Henson puppetry you can see in there. So that's fantastic.
And well that done. Lunchbox will open and close.
Yep. Yeah, nice.
Beautiful. Nicely done. Now, Benno, you were doing the first draft of the run sheet and you put in a picture of a cop's figure.
Yep.
And you said, Trent, please complete. So I've done that. I've given you... two or three additional slides.
Yeah. Oh, with 5,000 words to back it up.
But I just wanted to take a step back on cops because this is being done by a Chicken Fried Toys. So Chicken Fried Toys is a toy company you may not have heard a lot about.
As opposed to KFC toys?
As opposed to KFC, which do Transformers.
We've got Raymond Toys.
All the foods. Yep. Chicken Fried Toys and Fresh Monkey Fiction. So these guys have teamed up. And they've got the official license to bring us cops figures from Cops and Crooks.
So right? This is licensed. This isn't this a Machina type.
Not a Machina thing. Yep. Actually licensed.
Sure.
Now, they do, just on that, though, they do run into some naming issues, right, because of the G.I. Joe license, right?
Right.
So characters like, I think there's Roadblock and things like that, right, have some challenging names. Yep. But apart from that, they've got...
Road Stop.
Right, yeah. Road Slowdown.
Yeah.
So we got a prototype of Sundown. He was going to be the first figure. Now, why Sundown, you may ask, but Chicken Fried Toys are currently doing like a cowboy line. So I think they're called Dollar Dime Heroes or something to that effect.
Okay.
And they've done a whole range of cowboys, essentially.
Just so, generic looking.
Yeah, okay. Generic looking sort of cowboys.
Well, Sundown fits Marshall's. That bill quite well.
I reckon there's maybe a little bit of reuse here with maybe the hat and some of the pants and stuff. So he was the first one to get a reveal. And then they revealed some of the card art. So there they are. There was the card art there. Now, just I do want to say these are, again, that 1/18th scale.
Right.
So 4-inch figures, right? Yep. So they're smaller than the original Hasbro Cops line. So if we move along, then we got this guy. So this is now Sundown done in... color look, and you can see him there with the hat off. He is now up for pre-order on the Chicken Fried Toys website, so you can get him for $30 USD. You can go on and order him now.
Happy with the colors? He looks a bit dull, or is that right? Or
yeah, look, I mean, he is a duller character, I guess, in terms of the color palette. It's sort of like a beige and brown with some silver braces, and he's got that red neck.
Yep.
Kerchief and the red gloves. But yeah, look, he's probably maybe a bit duller than what you'd hope to see. A lot of the color palettes on these are quite bright and vibrant, so hopefully they sort of stick to that. But I did just plug him in to see what he would cost to ship to Australia. $36 flat shipping to Australia on this figure. For a $30 figure. Oof. So I didn't play around with getting 2, 3, 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's flat and you can find some friends and order it. But that is a $100 figure for a 4-inch figure. By the time, you know, that's $66 USD.
USD, it's about
that's $100,
bucks.
Right? Yep. So it's a $100 figure.
Ouch.
Anyway, that was where we were at with Sundown.
Mm.
Then we got this reveal, which was at JoeCon, I believe, and it is bulletproof. So we got the unpainted prototype there in the booth. He comes with a briefcase. He comes with the handcuffs. The kind of futuristic Uzi, multiple heads, two heads, multiple hands, and one of those really cool hands is him with his badge, right?
Which is straight from the show.
Yeah, awesome. Holding it up towards camera. It's fantastic.
And even like that alternate head, he's got the sunny sort of down his nose just with a sort of raised eyebrow. Yeah. Like, oh, that's amazing.
He's got a real Duke Nukem head, doesn't he?
Yep.
He's got the big jaw. Yeah.
And that sort of haircut. And then... what I really wanted to see was the trench coat, and they gave us images of the trench coats. Cool. Beautifully done. It's the right color this time. The Hasbro is a very white color.
Right,
it's not quite right to the show. It's got buttons. It's got the full lapels stitched in there. It's got the belt. It really, really looks nice. At a 4-inch or 1/18th scale, they're giving us a really, really nice figure. I love Bulletproof.
That's saying 112 on the...
Oh, okay. It does. Yeah, you're right. It does say 112.
Is this because it says under development? Is that a different company? Is this someone else who's playing? Ooh,
there you go. Okay.
Cops license.
No, down the bottom. The Cops and Crooks, Fresh Monkey Fiction.
Oh, okay.
2025.
Look, that is a really good pickup there. I wasn't aware, but I mean, if they're doing 112, that's even better. That is even better. That's that's true six inch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love that. Interesting to see where they go. Okay, stay tuned. If anyone knows,
is it one?
Let us know.
Maybe is Sundown? That's definitely
Sundown is definitely 4 inch.
4 inch,
from what I could tell on the website. Yeah, so I went on then had a look. So there you go. So, and then if you go on to the Chicken Fried Toys Instagram page, they're showing off some sketches of six or seven figures. So they've got Long Arm, they've got Roadblock, Berserko, one of the bad guys, Heavyweight, and if we go over to the next slide, you've got Taser, Buttons McBoom.
There he is. Yeah, there your favourite. Gosh.
So there they are. Like, I mean, this is
Barricade looks mental.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look, to me, there's a lot of character in the original designs, right, in terms of the animation.
Yep.
Maybe more so than the figures. There's the animation is beautiful, and I've always loved those character designs. There's just a bit of that pizzazz or a bit of that magic that I feel is missing from these sketches.
They look a bit like, you take the names away, if you're out of context, if you looked at those figures, you go, okay, it's a cop, it's a guy in riot gear, it's a gangster sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here, boys, and I'm going to say, once you throw him in a pink zoot suit, and you have to put on sunglasses to look at the coloured thing.
Colours will make it big.
Colours will.
You will take a second look at them and be like, okay, yep, I'm sold.
I mean, I feel like, I mean, in the animation, I don't know if we want to bring up a picture of Buttons McBoom Boom from the animation, I feel like they've just refined the faces to be a bit more real-worldy.
Yes,
yes. They've just taken away that cartooniness. Yep. And that might be, again, a stylistic choice.
Mm.
Makes a lot of sense. I don't disagree with it. But they didn't jump out to me as being Buttons McBoom Boom right from the start, like I think Frank said. So let's just have a look. Look at him from the animation. Like, really elongated face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of character in that. Maybe the toy, maybe to be fair, the toy is a bit more real world, isn't
very,
it?
Yeah, hot pink. Whereas, yeah, I see what you mean. Buttons McBoom, like, of those ones and the sketches, Buttons McBoom Boom is the one that sort of jumps out to me. I remember Long Arm. I don't remember Berserko or Heavyweight. Like, to me, Heavyweight and Long Arm look the same. Something, it looks like the same figure, but they've got, you know,
he's got more riot armor suit
and stuff, and they've given him a goatee and that sort of thing. I don't even which was the one who came with the dog? There's one he had a little sidekick robot dog.
Yeah,
that Long Arm?
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah.
Might have been. Yeah.
Bowser and Blitz.
Bowser and Blitz. Okay. Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Berserko is in the roll call, so I think he's in the end credits. It's Berserko.
Isn't he wearing more of a like a classic prison black and white stripe?
There is
thing?
One. Or I think that's Rock else. Crusher, maybe
right,
Rock Crusher.
Okay, yeah.
But Berserko, again, he's got crazy kind of blonde hair. It's
so
very...
I think, because, yeah, we're looking at his black and white sketches, right?
Yeah.
I think the colours will make a big difference.
Well, I'm even more excited to think this might be a 6-inch line, because if it is, it's closer in scale to those original Cops figures, and that is something I'll find very, very hard to refute.
And you can almost justify the price.
I think so.
Yeah. $100 for a 6-inch figure imported.
Mm. Yeah, and look, if you 36 of that is shipping.
Yeah.
So if you can do deals on the shipping, if you can get two
combined,
or three
and
really bring that price down to sort of 70, 60, then it makes a bit more sense.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Excuse me, I'm still not 100%. All right, Marvel Legends had another of their live stream. There was a bunch of individual ones that I sort of have glossed over. They did a new Odin figure. They've done a new Jean Grey figure, like in the Phoenix sort of look with the green and stuff. Looks very good. For the purposes of this run sheet that is already one of our largest ever, focusing on the new wave or Build-A-Figure wave that's been announced, and this is they're going revisiting Strange Tales, which people who know their Marvel history is, I think Strange Tales debuted, it's where Doctor Strange originally came from in the 40s or 50s or wherever it was.
Okay.
And I think Nick Fury also debuted in the Strange Tales sort of subline. So we get a wave, and this is... Some of the waves from Marvel Legends are a bit all over the place. You get some MCU stuff, you get some comic stuff mixed in and characters that don't belong. All these characters, I think, fit really, really well together. We get Bloodstorm, which, for those who don't know, is a version of Storm from the X-Men, who's basically
vampire Storm?
Been bitten by Dracula, essentially.
That is cool.
We get Moon Knight as he appeared in the West Coast Avengers. We get Dracula. Dracula we've seen before, but he was in a two-pack, I think, with like Venom, who had like monster wings and stuff.
Right. Is that Dracula with the red and black?
Yeah, it's Dracula with the red cape. And black. Yeah.
I love all the spikes and things that he's got on.
It's Marvel's take on Dracula, basically, but he's very cool. We get Brother Voodoo, who we have seen before, but I believe this is not since about 2016, I think it was, but he's got the new sort of pinless body articulation as well. Damien Hellstrom, which is one that has, I can't believe there hasn't been one for the longest time. So he's amazing. He's a guy with a tattoo sort of on his chest. Lilith, which is basically, that's a very famous sort of demon from old timey architecture that Marvel have done their own spin on. And you get the Weapon of Vengeance, aka what happens when Wolverine is taken over by the Spirit of Vengeance. A.K.A. Ghost Rider.
Well, he's got an adamantium skull.
Basically, adamantium flaming skull. I've got some more images to show you. But basically, you combine all these guys. I think Wolverine doesn't come with any Build-A-Figure parts because he's Wolverine. He sells.
Yeah.
And you get to combine them into Blackheart, which is a really cool, it's kind of like Shadow King type X-Men villain. But he's one that they have not seen since the Toy Biz days,
yes.
So 2006. Okay. I had the original one.
Yep.
He did come with like a wired tail, which sounds really great, but it's actually really tough wire, and it almost made him really tricky to stand because he's a big, tall, lanky sort of figure. But I've got some other images up here to show off these figures in a bit more detail. Moon Knight is nice in that we've seen a few all-white Moon Knights. This one's got a lot more gold accents to him, sort of on his wrists and shin guards. Lilith, it's interesting, that thing, that's actually her hair that sort of comes off the back of the head and flows into a cape. It's quite a weird little setup. Brother Voodoo's nice. He's kind of
witch doctor.
Yeah, basically he's tied to Doctor Strange. I think at one point he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme and Doctor Strange is, I don't know, drinking too much or something. Bloodstorm is just
she's sexy.
It's so good. There is a bit of a redo as far as I think the Storm from a few years ago, like with the punk rocker sort of look to it. But just that head sculpt and like the clawed sort of hands. Damien Hellstrom is one that fans have been crying out for a while. I think maybe not this version of him, but I think he was one of the tier figures for the ill-fated.
Yep.
The Vengeance, the car.
Ghost Rider car. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's Dracula, which is a very cool version of the character. I think his hair is also articulated with that ponytail, so you can sort of, you know, have that in different sweeping sort of directions.
Oh,
but look at this guy.
Wow.
This is the highlight of the wave for me. Helverine, as some people call him. He's got flaming claws, flaming adamantium claws. He looks like a pissed off Skeletor where he's got a metal skull that just has the flame bursting out of his eyes and his cheeks that sort of sweeps up to form the Wolverine, you know, sort of points where we're used to seeing.
That's a very clever use of the flame.
Yeah.
Mm. It looks like it's clear as well. So you get to the right photographer with the light,
translucent
light. Yeah. Light behind it. You'll get some pretty cool effects, I reckon.
What's amazing is you've got the skull and then obviously got the flames where they attach to the skull and then they come off and fly into the air. But around where it meets the skull, it's this red hot color. Yeah. Just a little line of it, and
the plastic isn't all one color.
No, it's really nicely done, and I love those flaming claws. Mm. Those orc claws just make him look amazing.
It looks like almost lava dripping down off his claws. The fire is so hot.
A lesser company might have just painted them orange, traditional claws orange, for example, but they've actually done some unique molding on there. And then this is our look at Blackheart, big figure. I think it's worth pointing out he's got obviously an ab crunch, but then also like a ab swivel, I guess, a bit further up.
Yep.
He's traditionally quite a tall figure, so he's known for sort of like hunching over to give him that sort of monstrous look. Little sort of detailed spikes all over him. He does stand, as a build figure, stands about, you know, I saw a regular figure come up to basically his chest. So he's quite tall for a Marvel Legends.
Once you stretch him out,
Yeah, he is...
He was made famous for me in Marvel vs. Capcom, the fighting game. He was a playable character, so I knew him from way back then. And then, I remember the Toy Biz one, and it's surprising that he hasn't had... He was also in one of the live-action, you know, TV series, but he's just a possessed Blackheart character.
Oh,
he wasn't the more monster looking character. So he's had a few, you know, appearances over time, as well as all the comic book runs. But yeah,
he's got a bit of Predator vibes to him. Oh, hell yeah. With that hair and the red eyes and stuff,
the dreads, the mask.
Yeah,
as well.
No face almost. Yep. Yeah,
no mouth.
Mm.
So yeah,
very good.
All right, we're at that point where we're going to talk about the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. And AKA Scotty's shopping list.
Yeah.
This is what he's bringing back.
He did say to us, he goes, oh, and I think we were all sort of secretly waiting for him to say, if there's anything you want me to sort of pick up while we're over there. And I think initially we all sort of kept a bit quiet. And then as they're dropping more and more, Trent's like, I saw this one reveal we'll get to. I saw it come up. I was like, Trent's going to ask for that 100%. Yeah. Like
24 hours later.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the first reveal, and I believe this went up already for an online sale, and it sold out within 2 minutes.
I think they did 3 days of it actually, and it sold out two of the 3 days already. Like day three, I think, is tonight.
Okay. All right. So last chance, or by the time you hear this, it'll probably be gone. But it is the first ever appearance of the Ninja Turtles based on those Eastman and Laird inspired sketches that they did, dubbed, you know, the first Turtles. Coloured this time, because I think those first sketches were black and white. They are really cool. I mean, they come off the page. You know, one's that goofy-looking turtle, and one's... actually, I mean, they're both pretty goofy-looking, because they're very turtle-esque in their short legs and turtle bodies, but they're very iconic, and they've captured them beautifully. And the nunchucks sort of attached to their wrists, because they had those big, funny claws that they didn't really... necessarily hold the weapons.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but is it like one was the first drawn by Eastman, the other one was the first one drawn by
Peter Laird? Yeah, I believe the one on the left, the taller one, is the Eastman.
Yep.
And then Peter Laird sort of came back and did his spin on a Ninja Turtle.
So I think, and we haven't seen the one on the right with the more sort of pointed beak. Like, I don't think we've seen that.
That's not in a black as and famous white because, you know,
it's the second turtle.
Yeah, everyone knows Buzz Aldrin exactly is the first person on the moon, but who's the second one?
Wasn't it Armstrong?
Oh, might have been. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that was Armstrong was
Buzz Aldrin.
So these have gone up on sale, a couple of sort of pre sales. It happens at like 2 a.m. or something. I did ask someone on Twitter, basically said, are these available at the show? They're also available at San Diego. So Scott can put one of these in his bag.
Yeah. The cool thing is...
Don't you mean two?
Yeah.
the cool thing is, so obviously this comes as a set, but because it's the two characters and they're not really emphasized to be any of the turtles, you get all the associated weapons with the turtles. So you get the nunchucks, size, the katanas, and a bow staff, as well as the police baton type unit, a tonka, and then the spinning nunchucks as well, in a sort of stylized moving capture. So
they've given them both a second head. Mm. But it's like they've changed the drawing to be a bit more iconic to that grimace, that turtle grimace. Yeah. So you're getting a grimace head as well. So theoretically, you could buy four of these two packs.
No, two. Oh, you get two packs and have all four turtles.
Yeah. Or you could go with me.
Okay.
You buy four two packs.
Oh, and have all four.
And then you have two different sets of the four turtles. Right. I mean, you could
go silly. That's why they're selling out so fast.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear that, Scotty? Yeah. You're going to have to squeeze four of them back in.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you really our friend or, you know?
Man, he's going to be hiring one of those shipping containers.
Yeah. All right. This is the ones that I shouted out for. So this is now the Loyal Subjects, and they've had a bit of a run. They're a bit smaller than the average NECA 6-inch styles, but they've... you know, found their niche in their market for doing the IDW style and things. After doing some, you know, other styles and things, this is where they're winning.
Their stride.
So for the Comic-Con, all of these are now battle-ready Janika. So she's got more of a, you know, garb on, the ninja garb. Comes with heaps of different accessories, weapons, face sculpt and things. You get battle-ready Dark Leonardo, which I think is just phenomenal.
Oh, so good.
So this is when Shredder
That's my pick.
Yeah, hypnotized Leonardo and sort of like Shadow Weaver did to She-Ra.
Sort of that City at War story arc.
And so, it's basically, he's wearing like a black bandana and like red and black foot armor. It's just, it's so cool.
Such a good look, isn't it? I mean, that's the first time we're getting this version, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's, that's to me, crazy because it's such a cool version.
And Janika. Janika's the first time, you know, Loyal Subjects put her out. And then, Dark Leo. And then my boy Shredder, and this is called the Dark Dreamer Shredder, but he glows in the dark.
I mean, what?
This is a perfect.
Where what parts of him glow? Like, I think the box. Armor and stuff.
Nah.
the box.
I think
it looks like it does actually.
Yeah, I think all the boxes may glow in the dark, but I think there might be a weapon or something that glows in the dark. But this is more IDW style Shredder that looks so cool, but he's done in a cartoon color scheme, so he's all gray and got the, you know, sort of purpley cape and stuff like that.
Because in the IDW run, he's more like with your reds
Red and black. So I've got this Shredder from the, you know, air quotation marks, IDW run from the Loyal Subjects, but this is just a repaint of him to look more cartoon-esque. That he didn't really wear this outfit in the comics as far as I'm aware, but this is a straight up repack with the tones of glow in the dark. So once Scotty secures it, I'll tell you what glows in the dark. And then last not but least, we have another glow in the dark. This is the Dark Metal Head and Donatello 2-pack. So Metal Head, you know, crosses between the good and the bad in this story arc, and in this this 2-pack as well. This is a bit of a spoiler alert. Donnie is killed in issue 36, and his brain is transferred into Metalhead to keep you know, him alive in spirit and things, and then eventually they were able to switch it back to Donnie's body once they repair him. So this is a cool 2-pack, very iconic, you know, part of the IDW run.
It was a big moment.
It's huge, man. It was massive. In my opinion, they brought him back too quickly. I think it was like two issues later that Donnie's back.
And you're like, come on, they could have played that out. But anyway, like, it was, I think I remember leading into it, they're just like, you know, menacing pictures of Bebop and Rocksteady, and you say, one turtle's going to die. Who's it going to be? And everyone's like, Harley, you're not going to do it. And they're like, no, we're actually going to kill a turtle. You know, read the issue to find out more.
So this is cool, and it's a good looking 2-pack. And again,
is this the only way you can get Metalhead?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't seen Metalhead in it. I'm sure they'll release him individually, but this will have attributes that color schemes and glow in the dark attributes that only this version will have. It's extremely faithful to how Metalhead looked in the comic book.
It's a good version.
And I believe the Donnie's been released in this version already, but he'll have glow in the dark aspects, I'm sure, that are only exclusive to this 2-pack. So cool. Very cool.
Glow in the dark brains.
Yeah.
Smashed brains. All right. Next up, we have Sam Cripps, you know, excitement. We have Street Sharks. And, of course, what do you release for San Diego Comic-Con? You release the Pool Shark Ripster, complete with leather jacket, pool stick, and a flame effect of how hard he's hitting that pool ball. This is a really cool version of Ripster. You can take all these garbs off. So he even comes with sunglasses. You can strip him right down and he looks like a regular Ripster, or put them all together and it's one of the iconic versions that we've seen in the original 90s toy line, as well as in the cartoon A Shark Among Us, where he dons this outfit. And I think the scene plays out where he's playing pool. Little fun fact, Mattel were going to make a Streetscape playset for the Street Sharks of a pool, you know.
Oh, right.
Pool hall and things. So this just fits right into the history of the Pool Sharks and of the Street Sharks.
We got a new show, Pool Sharks.
I love the artwork on the back. It's got Jab, you know, blades and
Big Slamu.
Yeah, Big Slamu hiding behind the dumpster, sort of, you know, gas bagging and whatever. Just the whole packaging, everything about it is fantastic. It's a real action shot of Ripster, you know, in the lining up the balls ready to shoot, or he has.
It's not one you'd be in a rush to unbox.
It's very cool. Yeah.
So well done to Mattel.
Nice. Oh, now this is very, very exciting. Hot Wheels getting a mention, and it's the 85th anniversary of Batmobiles. So we're celebrating by giving a six-pack of different Batmobiles through the ages. So come with Mattel and celebrate. So come with them. Celebrate this milestone and get this beautiful, beautiful set. Let's give it a roll call in terms of the different Batmobiles. Here we get the classic 1966 television series Batmobile. Comes with a little Adam West. So all these Batmobiles come with a little kind of figurine, I guess you'd call it.
And I bet they're die-cast as well.
They look like they're die-cast, yep. We then, of course, get the 1989 Tim Burton Batmobile with a beautiful Batman there. We have to get then Batman the Animated Series version. And then it's up for grabs. Which one do we get out of Forever and Batman and Robin? And we do get Forever, which is probably the better choice.
It's a better designed Batmobile for sure.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the Batman and Robin one, we can leave that in the dumpster fire where it belongs. And then we get the Tumbler, which is, I think, probably the most iconic Batmobile from that Nolan era.
Yep.
And then from the Matt Reeves, the Batman, we get his really hotted up Interceptor.
Muscle car. Yeah.
They're really, really nice. And I must say, the box art is beautiful because it is done in a yellow and black kind of color scheme.
It's unusual for a Batman thing to have that much yellow on it.
It's an unusual choice of color, but it works really well.
And I love the artwork behind each one of them.
Yep.
So you've got the main silhouette of that particular Batman all looking in the same direction. But then it's superimposed in front of that. You've got the villains. You can see Penguin and Catwoman in front of 66 Batman. You've got, of course, Jack Nicholson Joker in front of 89 Batman, et cetera, et cetera, all the way through to Riddler from the 2022 version. That's really well done.
And the artwork is very stylized. Like, there's not a lot of facial features.
Yeah.
It's just sort of the shadows.
You wouldn't get in trouble for, you know, having Jack Nicholson's likeness or anything like that.
No, you wouldn't. Yep. But you can tell who they are, and it's got Harley Quinn, Mr. Freeze is in there from the animated series, and nice, really, really nice. There's Ra's al Ghul, and it's, it's very, very, it's very cleverly done. I'd love to see some close-up images of the little characters just to see how well they've done them, because from this shot they look really, really nice at that scale. Like, the paint apps on them look immaculate. So very, very
sort
cool
of
set.
Price on this, or
I didn't get a price, but
it wouldn't be cheap.
Yeah, I'm just wondering after the
Optimus Prime. There's no transforming, but
all right. So next up, we have more from Hot Wheels. We've got the Secret Wars Racerverse. So anyone visiting Toy Isles right now, the Hot Wheels, you see all the Star Wars ones.
Yep.
I believe there is a He-Man one. I haven't seen that one yet, but they're out there. So these are sort of think Mario Kart, where they're in a little car and the character is almost as big as the car, right? They're sitting on top of these cars and the car acts like a go-kart. So because it's Secret Wars, because it's 40 years since the original Secret Wars, why not release a Hot Wheels-inspired Secret Wars? And, of course, the main one here is Spider-Man and the Spider Buggy. So instead of regular traditional blue and red Spidey suit, they've done for the con the black symbiote skirt suit, which I think is a great option.
Because, Secret Wars?
Yeah, because then you can start releasing the regular releases, the blue and red one, you know, for regular toy shelves and things. So that's great.
Does this line already exist? As in, they're doing the red and blue one?
Not from Marvel, but this line exists as a Racerverse.
Right.
Racerverse line exists. I haven't seen the Secret Wars line yet. But it's only a matter of time. So there it is in the artwork. You can see Spider-Man in the June buggy. So this is just essentially a repaint of maybe something to come.
Mm.
But one in every chase variant, you get the Wolverine. So these are blind boxed. So all you see is the Marvel Secret Wars box, right, with the lightning and things like that. You open up the box and there's the card, you know, with the blister. Normally, you get Spider-Man. One in every whatever. I don't have numbers here on the info. You get Wolverine. So I bet. So not only is this an exclusive, but there's an exclusive of
within.
The exclusive.
Exclusive in the exclusive.
And you don't know what you've got until you unbox it.
Wow.
And I believe the way they're going is this is going to be the Wolverine in the brown and yellow outfit. And then the regular release will be the blue and yellow outfit.
And
the cool thing is, like, just like Secret Wars, they had the little shield.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of a lenticular shield or disc or whatever, Tarzo, Pog, I don't know what you call them, with these little sets to really... you know, hone in. So Wolverine and the X-Jet.
You get the
called.
X-Jet yep. with four wheels. I love that so much. So good.
Yeah. So I think that Wolverine is going to be hot.
Yeah.
Hot property.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get your hands on the Wolvie. All right. Now to Masters of the Universe Origins we are getting. This was long spoiled as a potential San Diego Comic-Con reveal when we have finally had confirmation that it is Too Bad. But with a twist. Mm. Too Bad with a twist. It is the cartoon collection of Too Bad. Now, we never saw Tuvar and Badra in their individual forms yep. in the Filmation cartoon. We did see Too Bad make an appearance in Filmation in his Too Bad form. But it wasn't until the Mike Young Productions in 2002 that we saw the backstory to Too Bad being, you know, Skeletor getting angry at them for not performing their duties, their henchman duties, as well as they should have, and they got merged into the one character. So this is Filmation inspired. Now, what this does is you've essentially got two different characters, but they also come with a separate torso and waist piece, so you can basically pull off the arms, pull off the heads, pull off the legs, and join them up to make a Too Bad figure. Comes with a beautiful box as well, and their pose, their Skeletor kind of fusing them together. They come with the mirror, which I think is from one of the Filmation episodes, and it's got a mini comic to boot. So very, very nice set. I think a lot of people are happy it's the Filmation version, because I suspect the more popular version is the toy version. Right. That is still apparently coming in the Origins line.
So these are Origins, but this is the Filmation.
This is the Filmation cartoon collection, sort of subline. So
and these ones aren't, so the Origins one that's still to come, that's not going to be the same as this, because these ones run a bit larger. Is that right? Like they're not quite that 5.5?
I think the difference is they'll be the same size, but the heads are very cartoony in these.
Yep.
Whereas the heads for the the toy line, the vintage collection, will be much more grimacing and meaner.
I think that's it. Like, if you look at Tuvar and Badra, just look at their belts, right? They've got none of the detailed sort of stud work.
Yep.
If you actually look at the Too Bad belt, he's got the more traditional style of what the vintage figures look like, with the three kind of jewels or whatever those things are on them. So I think that will pretty much be a re-release of that body. Mm. And like Ben said, we'll definitely get new heads, because these are very cartoony looking.
I think the legs for the final Too Bad will have bleeding of the blue and the purple, like at the top of the crutch.
And because, forgive me, but I reckon the purple side of the leg is almost like got scales or got some texture into it.
Yep.
So again, maybe that might be a small change. But this set is $50 USD. You get the beautiful box art. It will be made available on Mattel Creations after the con, I believe, if there is any left. So hopefully they're making these in large enough numbers that people that can't make the con can still get their hands on it, because it is a very, very cool set. But
Scotty bringing one of these home for you?
Look, I've requested. The way Scotty phrased his message was, feel free to put in your request. And they'll be considered, right? So, and look, that's the good way to do it. But yeah, look, this would probably be my number one request.
Yep.
And then maybe that Turtles 2-pack would be sort of number two. Mm. And I reckon that's where I can call it. Like, I'd be happy with one or two of those.
And honestly, like, if Scotty's listening to this, like, all of us have been to San Diego, albeit a fair bit of time ago. He's got the advantage in that he's got going basically as a vendor type thing, so he gets in earlier. But we know what it's like. It's absolutely mad. I would hate to think that we, by saying, oh, get me this and get me that, ruin his experience, because he's standing in line all day.
No,
so if he can, great, amazing, thank you so much. If he can't, mate, geez, just go have fun. That's what you're there to do.
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't want him changing his plans to get any of this stuff. No. It's, if you happen to be there, I know when I was there, they had they were doing those DC and Masters of the Universe Classics 2-packs.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the exclusives was like the Faker
Bizarro. Yep.
And so I happened to be there. I'm like, I'll grab one for Darren. Like, I'll just get him one, because I'm there, I'm getting myself one, I'll get him one. And I managed to get that signed. And I think it might be living in Ben's collection now. But it was, I got my one signed by Eric Treadaway,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of signed the I don't think he'd worked on the DC figure, so he sort of signed the Origin side. And then Scott Knightlick signed the other one, and I think the mini comic artist, forget who it was, but maybe it was Axel Jimenez,
but he
signed it as well. So that's it. If you're there and it works and you can see it, go for it.
Well, for me, because when I went, it was the Orko and Cringer release and the Robot Chicken, Skeletor, and the dentist.
Mola.
And honestly, Ree was lining up at the Mattel. I was lining up at the Mattel line, and I was probably, what felt like 500 people from the front, just lining up there, very patient. Ree rings me and says, hey, there's a dealer here that's got them. They're $20 more than what I would have paid for. What do you want? Do you want me to get them and things? And I said, yes, just buy them. Yep. Just buy them. Saves me lining up for the next hour or at least. And then I've got it and I don't have to. They're the number one things I want to get at this con. And I was happy to pay because that's still probably cheaper than what I would have.
You've got an hour doing what you want to do.
Yeah, and pay for itself.
Yep. So I have absolutely zero regrets and I appreciate her going to that investigative, area to for me because that was just awesome. Mm. Anyway, moving on. Trent, do you want to talk about this one?
I have no idea what this is.
This is it. Yeah, very. to me, this is the perfect San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. It is Jimmy Buffett from Jurassic World. And if you don't remember, Jimmy Buffett makes a little cameo in that movie when all hell breaks loose at the park at the end. Jimmy Buffett is seen drinking his margarita and he gets attacked by these little pterodactyls, little flying dinosaurs, and he's trying to fend them away from his margarita. He doesn't want anything getting in the way of him enjoying his margarita. So in tribute, unfortunately, Jimmy passed away last year, but this is a set that essentially comes in like a blender, like the box is a blender with the green margarita mix kind of like filling up the blender. Then inside, you can actually get a margarita glass, right, on a little kind of looks like a little hut, and Jimmy can stand in the middle, and he can have these flying dinosaurs. I think there's lights and sounds. Is that right?
Lights and sounds as well.
That is so much fun. I think it's in the smaller scale because they do two different scales for Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. I think this is more that 3¾-inch size.
Yep.
$30 from the Mattel booth. A lot of fun. And look, this is just a great...
Yep.
If you're there, you want a little... It's not going to ruin anyone's collection by not having a Jimmy Buffett in there. Yep. But what a nice little... And very... I think the people that designed this had a heap of fun putting this together.
Yep. Mm. All right. Oof. Moving on to G.I. Joe. And this is, of course, Cobra Commander from... Famously made from the movie, where the 87 movie, I believe. Yeah, so Cobra Commander. And we found out that he is actually a serpent underneath his mask.
It's King Hiss, isn't it?
It's pretty much King Hiss. Yeah. So
I believe that, because I haven't seen the movie, right?
Yep.
But he gets some Cobra lar.
Yep. Loving. The spurs, right. The spores.
And that
things.
Changes him into this creature. So this is sort of. That figure is mid-transformation.
Yes. And that's
and then that full, is final form.
Yeah, turns into a full, snake with little itty-bitty arms.
Yeah. Got T-Rex arms here. Yeah.
And then because he grabs onto Roadblock and Roadblock sort of escapes all the while, telling him, why the hell am I saving you type scenario. This is a fantastic look at, we talked about Transformers, how do you, the song that Trent typed up and made on the program, and how do you ruin someone's childhood? How do you make a new toy line? You've got all these established characters. How do you just snap your fingers, get rid of them and light our darkest hour with new characters and things? Well, this is how G.I. Joe did it. They introduced Cobra Lar and they tried to introduce this whole new, sort of sub-alien snake, range of characters. And Cobra Lar was it. And how do you keep going with established characters? Well, you change, good old Cobra Commander into a proper snake.
Yeah.
this is Cobra Commander sort of in his best cosplay for the troopers from Mario. The Goombas. he's got this torn outfit, sort of vest. He comes with a helmet and things, and depicting where he was in the movie. Comes with a wicked little pointing figure. There's already some great photo work of him, holding his face. No, don't look at me, and pointing away and stuff. Comes with a little pistol and a knife and dagger and stuff. And then, yeah, as we sort of alluded to before, he's got his full transformation, full snake, outfit that he uses to ride Roadblock, home with through the snow.
Yeah.
Great set. I think a lot of hardcore 87 movie fans are going to be chasing this, whether you can get to the con or not. This is going to cost you $40 USD, so it's not going to break the bank. And it is a fantastic nod towards, what they tried to do in the 87 movie. Because of the backlash from Transformers killing off Optimus, Duke, receives quite a painstakingly near-death
I'm dead. Now I'm alive again.
Pretty much. Like. He comes back from the dead and survives makes sure the audience knows, hey, don't worry, I'm alive.
Yeah,
they had to quickly rewrite that to make sure they didn't have another Optimus Prime scenario.
The scene from Poochie, is it? Where, right at the end.
Yep.
It's just changes the voice. Hi, I'm Duke and I'm back.
Yeah. So quite fun indeed.
All right.
Wow.
Sorry, I just took a swig of this, my last swig of this delightful whiskey, peanut butter whiskey that we've been having here.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're all celebrating. It's now time to get your easy rider, Darth Maul, as he comes on his, futuristic sand-loving motorbike with no wheels. This is very nostalgic back to the Phantom Menace line of 1999 with that beautiful box and that Darth Maul head that featured on all the merchandise that was going around and that Star Wars Episode 1 logo. I've got a lot of memories of this kind of branding. It started off
it was everywhere.
It was so mystical and amazing, and then it became like the peg warmers, and so it sort of cheapened over time. But now I think, 25 years later, it's got a certain appeal again to it. But this is essentially a figure and vehicle set of Darth Maul with a fair bit of cloth goods hood, which is slightly different to the Black Series figure that had a sculpted hood and then like
very
kind
rubber
of cloth goods robes. And he comes with that beautiful speeder bike. There's that probe droid that he sends out that comes on a clear stand. Both his lightsabers, so you can form the double-bladed lightsaber, and that little set of binoculars that are very good, viewfinder, I guess you'd call it. Not cheap, $60 US, but that is what you pay. But the speeder bike does look very good. It's a nice sort of smallish vehicle that you can get into a Black Series line. I think they went a bit nuts with things like the TIE Fighter and some of those, the Land Speeder, some of those really big vehicles. And I think they've just sort of maybe learnt their lesson. Shrink it down. This is sort of the right kind of size.
But the packaging alone is what sells it. Even I'm feeling nostalgic for that, seeing those, that cloud, the top bit and the sandy bottom. And
it's an iconic scene, and that sort of first battle, even though the lightsaber battle is done from a distance, you don't get a lot of action yet, but you have that first Sith reveal.
Yep.
Well, that's it. A lot of news. All right, now we're going to wrap the news, but we do have the Lego set reveal here. Yeah. And it is, what is the set you're holding there in your hands?
This is the Pac-Man arcade set that the boys have sort of been seeing over the last few weeks on my dining table, slowly but surely coming together. This was actually a present for my birthday last year, so it's taken me a year to get around to it. Once I started building it, it was one of these things that just came together in a few weeks. It's quite, what's that? 12 inches tall. The features on this are incredible. You've got at the top, you've got your two ghosts and Pac-Man. They're chasing Pac-Man. You press the button on the back. They spin around because Pac-Man's had his power up, and now the ghosts are all scared.
That is,
you've got
now for bonus points here, Frank. You've got the Pac-Man on the top. You've got two ghosts, the red and the orange. Do you know the names of the red and orange ghosts?
Red and orange. I don't know.
Blinky,
no, have names?
Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde, I believe.
Really?
Yep, they're the names, wow. And I don't know which one's which.
Okay. Right. You can, as Ben's probably already found, there's a little joystick at the front. So this is like a thing, it's a, I say, desktop-sized arcade box.
Yep.
You've got a little joystick at the front. Doesn't really do much, but it's got like, it's using it rubber nice. Sort of, it's got rubber connectors in it, so it gives it a range of motion. There's little buttons on the front here, so he's actually got like a coin slot with a special
Thing that lights that is up, amazing.
Right? You've also got the piece, you can actually take the back off.
Yep.
There's a panel here that comes out, and if you spin it around, if you take a look in the back here, you actually get a minifigure scale. You get a minifigure, you get, and then they've basically recreated the entire arcade minifigure scale. There's a little seat, there's a rubbish bin, there's a candy dispenser.
Like a little gumball
machine.
Like
you would have had in the, like you would have had in the arcade back in the day. But probably the piece de resistance.
You're gonna. This is. I think it's gonna move, isn't
this
it?
This little handle on the in, on right. the left here.
Oh wow! Oh look at that. The okay. So we got. Oh, Pac-Man is actually going around. He's going around.
Yeah.
And the ghosts are going around too. That is nuts.
If you actually, it's. We might put some footage of this up on our socials because it has to be seen to be believed. But the building of that, there's one of those Technic pegboards that is probably A5 in size.
Yep.
And there's so many little pegs and all this Technic that goes into it. At one point, you get those, you know, the black Technic sort of connectors?
Yep.
You get one of those and you have to put these two little posts, one at either end. And you know how sometimes when you do these little sub-builds in a Lego thing, you got to do this two times, you got to do this three times.
Yes.
Yeah, do that with your little peg thing. Do that 64 times. I'm like, are you like
times
my hands,
64,
which is killing me by the end of it.
Can you flip that around for me?
Yeah, yeah. Have a look at the mechanism in the back because it's quite incredible the way they've done it. But basically, yeah, you get there's in effect two little tracks.
I can't even
where one ghost goes along. In the instruction manual, because this is one of their special edition ones, it does say it goes look. Goes, in order to test this track stuff, we used like, had a robot that would turn the handle thousands of times to make sure that it wouldn't catch and would behave how they wanted it to behave.
I mean, that is one of the most incredible things I've seen in Lego built. Mm. The way that, I thought it was just going to go around in a square.
Nah, so there's
but
actually,
it follows the actual track.
Yeah, there's like this sort of weird rubber type things that all hook together that are flexible. And then you build little like posts around it so that you can push it around corners. There's actually two complete loops in there.
Yeah.
So Pac-Man and I think the
right.
red the blue guy's on his own little track if you sort of get up close and have a look.
Yep.
You can also I think it's there's a little wheel. Is it here? So there's like
the
you
score.
Can change the high scores and stuff at the top there. There's little stickers for that sort of thing. It's just I said to Ali, he's like, I'm so sorry it's taken me a year to get to this. Like, once I started building, it was done in a couple of weeks, really. And even Jack would sort of have a look and he'd press the button and do all the things. And yeah, I'm super happy with it. And it's just, I thought it was worthy of showing just for that mechanism of moving everything around. It's a wonderful, wonderful set.
Yeah. No, this is quite incredible. One bit of Lego news I have is my friend Gus from Lego, winner of Lego Masters Season 3, Gus, David and Gus, and then reappearing on Grand Masters where I got to meet him. He now works for Lego, and his first set, so he's been over there for about a year-ish, right? And his first set got released to buy, and it is the Paz Vizsla and Moff Gideon Battle. So that's his set that he's designed over at Lego, his first set that's been released. So that is really cool. And he posted it, and it's probably like it's brilliantly designed. Gus is an absolute genius at Lego, but it's probably what you'd call a sort of $50 set.
Yep.
It's sort of essentially, it's got four minifigs. I think you get your Moff Gideon, you get it's Paz Vizsla when he basically gets out that heavy bolter at the end and kind of goes nuts and destroys as many of the baddies as he can. So it's basically like a door. There's like a little missile launcher and stuff. So it's a small set, but one of the guys, Ryan from Grandmasters, well posted on there when he revealed that he'd done the set. He's like, I thought the first assignment they'd give you is like a poly bag, you know? So they're like, well done for getting, you know, like a mid sort of size, small to mid size
set. Star Wars as well. Like,
Star Wars. So he's done very well. But like, you know, you go, who is making this? Like
this would have
Pac-Man.
Taken years it's worth incredible. Of actual like design and yeah. stuff. Like yeah. it's just
they started when Pac-Man was released and finally able to release it to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I love my Lego, obviously, as it's well known, but there's moments in builds, and I come across more of the adult, I guess, builds, you know, where you just are following the instructions and then you sort of come across a build or a component and just go, how have they done that? Who thought this up? Like, how the way it connects and the way it fits and these techniques you've never even thought of doing.
Yep.
I still can't wrap. I have to build it to even get close to wrapping my head around that mechanism because I can't make sense of it. But just the way that moves around is just blowing my mind.
Yeah, because you've got the ones that move. But then if you look closely, your little guys in the center and the cherry sort of like bobbles backwards and forward, like rotates slowly. Because
it does that in the game, doesn't it?
It sort of like hovers up and down. Bounces around just a little
and
bit.
And that guy in the middle kind of bounces until he gets loose.
I have these weird, I don't even know how to describe it. It almost looks like an arrowhead made of sort of soft rubber.
Yep.
And then that's sort of like the peg behind it so that as the thing rotates, it's kind of just brushing it enough to make it bobble. Like I was just sitting there going, I've never seen this piece before. How does this work? And then when you see it all come together, you're like, you genius bastards.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's absolutely incredible stuff. Nah,
phenomenal. Well done.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. 1 year in the making and well worth it.
Trent hasn't taken his eyes off it. He doesn't know how to work it.
Yeah, that's right. Technic is not my strong suit by any means. So, no, that's wonderful. Well done. All right. Well, nice. Quick shout out to the next episode. Just a quick little teaser. I don't know how long ago it was, 3 or 4 months. We put out a competition to create or put in your pitch for a Toy Power episode.
Yep.
And that episode was won by Jay Harps on our Patreon page. So, Jay will be joining us next week, and we're going to be letting him take the reins. It's going to be a unique experience that I'm really looking forward to.
Not something we've ever done on this show before.
No, but we know friends who have a show that does this, and they are very successful in their content. So I'm looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun, and hope you all enjoy that when it comes up next week. All right, that's
good
it.
Times.
Sign off.
That all was done. Quite the news episode.
It's done.
Wait till San Diego actually happens.
Oh
my
dear!
God.
All right, we're gonna need a bigger boat.
We're gonna hopefully get some reporting from Scotty on the ground. Some
audio.
Words from the floor.
That'll be nice. Nice to have a roving reporter. All right, very good. Well, thanks to everyone for tuning into another episode of Toy Power, and to all our patrons on the Discord. Thank you so much for your ongoing chatter and support. We will see you around the toy aisles. Just make sure you take care of one another. And I've buggered that up. So
he's done it out of order.
I'm gonna go over to you.
let's just go with Darren.
Here we go.
And until next time. Good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast. At Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. Or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher. And please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.